You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Dave here with Casey, and we're the football dudes. Casey, are you ready, brother?
I am. Ow, cramp, Dave. I'm not hydrated enough. This off-season stuff. I haven't been running my exercises. I'm going to be okay then, bro.
Woo. All right. Next stop, the Trend Zone, Casey. And in today's episode, we're going to talk mostly about NFL free agency, and then we'll get into the new CBA, which is stoking us out because there will be football without interruption, Casey. But let's just go right into it, bro. Some huge, huge news today.
Yeah, dude, it's kind of weird, man, with the rest of the world shutting down everything except for the NFL, you know, off-season or the new season, whatever you want to call it. And isn't that just like the NFL to make the hugest headlines on a day when there is absolutely no sports going on, dude? And
yeah,
obviously, unless you've been, quarantined, which you probably have, but you still have your direct TV, you found out about Tom Brady, dude.
What? Tom Brady?
No more. He is allegedly or supposedly or probably, unless something crazy happens, going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, dude. The end of an era in the AFC East. And I don't know who's happier, Buck fans or Bills, Dolphins, and Jet fans. Dude. It's been a long time of ass whoopings up there in the AFC East. And now it's a whole new look in that division and a whole new look in the NFC South, bro.
Yeah, and it's pretty dang exciting. Came down to the L.A. Chargers and the Bucks. Apparently, he wanted to stay with his family closer or keep his family on the East Coast. So that was, I guess, the thing that got him in that direction. But, man, it's going to be exciting now that he's over there under Bruce Arians, because Arians has had lots of success with older veteran-type quarterbacks, and this guy is the GOAT. I mean, he's the greatest of all time. So this is going to be super exciting. And the weapons, Casey.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, you're looking at Mike Evans and Chris Godwin there, O.J. Howard, who's a young developing tight end there, and the running back stable got two solid backs there as well. And you talk about Arians, dude. This guy has had some of the best offenses in the NFL, and you're right. He took some old quarterbacks and went to the Super Bowl there. You saw Jameis driving Bruce crazy last year, going 30 for 30. Tom Brady's probably not thrown 30 interceptions in the last 12 or 15 years combined. So, it's going to be a great fit there, a ton of weapons. And we'll see if Brady still has that down-the-field game. You haven't seen it in the last couple of years in New England, but he hadn't had any weapons, dude. This is the best offense he's ever had.
Yeah, and this does the Arians offense does feature deep passing, and that's one of the things that, will be interesting for an older quarterback with maybe – not quite as much in the arm there, whether he's got enough or whether Arians will sort of contour the offense more to his skill set, which is, of course, obviously he gets the ball out fast and he's extremely accurate and gets his playmakers the football. Now he's got playmakers.
Yeah, and it's crazy, man. There's not much left in the cupboard there up in New England, but definitely and to the era up there, one of the most dynamic runs we've ever seen. Yeah. But, Dave, we had a little end of an era here in Los Angeles as well.
that was my guy, Philip Rivers, Casey. They parted ways with the Chargers, Rivers and the Chargers. And then it was great to see Rivers finalize his deal earlier today. He's going to be with the Colts. I love this matchup here, Casey. He's joining Frank Reich and offensive coordinator Sirianni. Those guys both were part of the Chargers organization. Actually, Frank Reich basically learned this offense under Philip Rivers when he was the offensive coordinator there with the Chargers. He was a huge fan of Rivers, so I knew he wanted Rivers in there. And this is basically the same offense that the Chargers have been running, so Philip Rivers rolls in there. And he's immediately very comfortable with the system. Obviously, the team around him is a lot different than the Chargers, namely that offensive line. As stout as that offensive line is, dude, Rivers has got to be super excited. He hasn't had time to throw for the last handful of years, and he's been forced to sort of try and make things happen, and that's resulted in a decline in his productivity. We'll see if he can rally his game now that he's going to be in a better situation, better running game, better offensive line. It's going to be very exciting to see what Rivers can do there, man.
Yeah, I think that's a great fit for him there. And then, dude, more quarterback movement. Marcus Mariota heading out west to the Raiders. Dude, a little quarterback competition there for Derek Carr. Not sure who Gruden likes more, but this is a good fit. Change of scenery for Mariota. And maybe last year getting benched and getting to watch is going to help his development a little bit. Dave, he's one of the few non-Dallas Cowboys to start making their way to Las Vegas, though, man. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, no doubt. And Gruden was clearly not 100% sold on Carr. And he does love him some Nathan Peterman, Casey. He also remains on the on the offense there with the Raiders moving to Vegas. So they're going to be pretty exciting heading into that. I still got Carr as the leader in the clubhouse there. But Mariota's certainly going to want to give himself a chance there, man. How about, Casey, though, the story of Teddy Bridgewater? Teddy B, man, this kind of seems like it came together finally for Teddy after he rebuilt his career after that horrible knee injury, what, 5-6 years ago now?
Yeah, man, it's awesome. He's going out there to the Panthers. A nice deal for Bridgewater, 3 years, $63 million, kind of in the area, you know, being the Louisville guy, kind of in that region there. It's a great fit for him. Super stoked to see him get that opportunity again. And now, dude, you look at this NFC South. You got Tom Brady. You got Drew Brees. You got Teddy Bridgewater, man. That's a lot of fun there. Oh, yeah, Matt Ryan, a former NFL MVP. Good quarterback play in the South there. It's going to be a very interesting division.
Wow, no question about it. That is going to be one exciting division from week to week, seeing those matchups. There's going to be a lot of primetime activity there.
Yeah, and Ryan Tannehill, he stays at Tennessee, parlays a great year into a new four-year, $116 million contract. See if the Titans can keep it going, dude. Don't forget that they had a 10-point lead in the AFC Championship before it all fell apart.
No doubt about it, man. And how about those Miami Dolphins and their ability to get a guy off the roster and have him suddenly end up having an absolutely phenomenal season? You know, he missed the first handful of games before he became the starter there in Tennessee. And then really the numbers he put up, the consistency that he played at, and like you said, bringing his team as far as they were, so close to the Super Bowl. Awesome to see him finally really develop into the guy that the Dolphins thought they might have had for a long time.
Dude. And then a couple guys we mentioned, Drew Brees, he stayed put with the Saints, especially with Teddy B leaving. It's him and Taysom there. Signed a friendly deal. Dak Prescott for the Cowboys under the franchise tag at the moment. I expect him to get that deal done before the July 15th deadline. If not, he's making about $30 million a day. But we talked about some of these teams. Still a couple big names floating out there that are probably looking for new homes.
Yeah, Casey, guys without a home, they're recently displaced quarterbacks in Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, and Andy Dalton. All those guys have been shown the door, basically, from their prospective franchises. We'll see, obviously, the second round of the quarterback carousel spins around where those three guys are going to land. Obviously, there's still some quarterbacking left in those dudes, so there has been some rumors tying Dalton to the Patriots. So, I'm sure Patriots fans would be absolutely thrilled at that transition to get the
The fiery, Red Rocket. The TV Red 12 Rocket. To the Red Rocket. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how those guys land. But there's still a couple of spots that the teams that look like they might be interested in quarterbacks, the Chargers being one of them, the Bears being another one. Who knows where these guys end up. Obviously, the Patriots aren't 100% finished with their quarterback room either. So lots of stuff still, pieces still to fall, right?
Yeah, dude, we're still just in the tampering time frame. I haven't even gotten to official free agency yet.
I don't know if this tampering idea is working out quite like they wanted it to, but heck, it certainly is exciting.
Dave, somebody's tampering with the water there in Houston, because when we saw this deal happen, it was a spit take. I could not believe it. Thought I was taking crazy pills. Apparently, Bill O'Brien is taking crazy pills, bro.
Dude, the Hopkins deal, the Texans trading him to the Cardinals for David Johnson, and then the hodgepodge of picks. I'm sure you can throw the details together, but this is just mind blowing. I just don't get it.
Oh, yeah, dude. I had been talking about that earlier in the day with one of the guys through the show. I was like, there is no way Hopkins is getting traded. And I look, boom, he's on the Cardinals, dude. They gave him away for, basically a bag of potato chips. But now the Arizona Cardinals become must-see TV. How exciting is that offense now with Nuke in the mix with Kyler? Oh, my God.
No doubt. And you've got, they had great running back productivity without David Johnson in the mix there. But you also have Larry Fitzgerald, obviously a consummate pro. And you've got Kirk, the young player who's really emerged already as a phenomenal NFL receiver. So, wow, the weapons for that offense, it's going to be exciting to watch, no question.
Yeah, dude, and when Kyler breaks the pocket, that's kind of where Nuke has been so effective with Deshaun Watson, who is now probably like, what the hell is going on here? You know, can't be pleased about this, but it makes Arizona even more exciting. And then, bro, you thought the trade was bad, and then you saw what the Vikings got for Stephon Diggs from the Bills, and that made that Houston-Arizona trade look even worse for the Texans, bro.
Oh, God, I know. Diggs, so Minnesota is going to get a first-round pick, a fifth-round pick, and a sixth-round pick, dude, and a fourth-rounder in the 2021 draft. Now, that's the haul that you'd expect to come back when you're giving up on a great receiver and you're moving them to another squad. That's the price tag that's a lot more, and they toss in a seventh rounder to make that happen. Yeah, you can have a seventh rounder too. Yeah, sure.
Where do we start man. Up? And Stephon Diggs is a great player and a good receiver. Yeah. He's made huge plays, the Minneapolis Miracle, but he's not the caliber of D-Hop. You know, you could argue where those guys are in the top 10, top 20, but to me, Houston got fleeced on this deal, bro.
No question. Houston, absolutely. This puts into question the idea that a coach can be the GM. Usually just doesn't work. And here it just seems like this just didn't work, man. I just don't get it.
You know, to give the Bills a little love real quick, Stephon Diggs, I think, is going to be a great fit there in that offense. We've said they need a big receiver there. He fits the mold. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch that offense. Bills made the playoffs without those huge weapons, and now you put Diggs in there, a number one, and it makes that team pretty exciting. Dave, some other big news for receivers as well.
Yeah, A.J. Green was obviously retained there in Cincinnati. I don't know how thrilled he is about that, but if they follow through with their plan and do the smart thing and get Joe Burrow, they're going to have a pretty exciting young quarterback there for AJ Green to work with, and they want to have him have a nice weapon like that.
Yeah, Dave, I had a little time to squirm there when the new CBA got done, which we'll hit in a minute, but Amari had the chance to lose him. He stayed put. It looks like he used teams to build a little leverage, but that got him a 5-year, $100 million contract. He said all along he wanted to stay in Dallas. Supposedly he left money on the table from other teams, but that's a great fit there. So we just got to get the thrower in line, and everything's going to be gravy there. But I'm super stoked to see Amari stay in Dallas.
Yeah, and then there's Derrick Henry. He led the league in rushing last year. He gets the tag to stay there in Tennessee. Maybe not the big long-term contract, but a pretty nice payday. I think around $11 million there for Henry.
That's not bad. And then you look at some of the bigger names of free agency. You move them over to the defensive side, a team that's been very active, the Miami Dolphins. They got Byron Jones away from my Cowboys. Knew there wasn't money to pay this guy. He's getting the biggest deal for a defensive back in NFL history. Good on him. He's been very good in Dallas. Miami's going to like what they get, a great guy off the field, a team leader. Dallas just couldn't pay him. But, Dave, there's still a couple of crown jewels out there, bro, on the defensive side of the ball in free agency.
Yeah, there's Jadeveon Clowney is probably the top defensive free agent. And, unfortunately, I think the Seahawks traded to acquire him last year. I'm not sure exactly how much they gave up in that whole maneuver, but that seems to have been a rental, as he is now on the loose and looking for the biggest payer out there who's going to show him the money,
Yeah, and then Chris Harris Jr. for the Broncos, he shopped services. And Dante Fowler Jr., man, this was the guy that the Jags picked, traded him to the Rams. Rams losing another guy, dude. They got traded all those draft picks for these players. got to a Super Bowl, didn't win it. They've got some work to be done there, bro.
Yeah, I'm not big on the trade for a guy that you don't have under contract. That's just not my thing. And that's two of these guys are right in that category, and they just left that team that traded for him, and that team gets nothing basically except for that rental for that time period. But Casey, let's move this thing along into the incredibly exciting news that the NFL has come through with a 10-year deal through the year 2030. That means basically it's been 10 years already, roughly. So we're going to have 20 uninterrupted NFL, and we're halfway through it now, basically. It's awesome.
Yeah, baby, I love it. You know, it was barely got past the players union there, but it's enough to get the deal done. Uninterrupted, that means they're not killing the golden goose. Yep. Plenty of money to go around. Some of the biggest points through here, they got that 17th regular season game. There's some speculation on how that's going to play out. They lose one of the preseason games, but nobody gives a crap about that.
Yeah.
The expansion of playoffs, Dave, we've been talking about this one forever, gone from 12 to 14 teams.
Wild card weekend, baby.
Baby, that's going to be awesome. But talk about that 17th regular season game real quick.
Yeah, the speculation is that it would be a game between an AFC versus an NFC game, and that it might be something like you already play one division from the other conference. Now, this would add, in my opinion, maybe the team that finished in the same place as you in another division, and it would just be another rotating system where essentially you'd get division winners against each other that were from different conferences, and you know, one AFC and one NFC, and that would be, it would create some really awesome games. And then the other concept, obviously, we're going to have a handful of these in England, and then Mexico City worked out really well with that new field last year. You could have some big time games that feature different stadiums that aren't in the NFL rotation, you know, like the Big House and whatever, different stadiums in the United States that could be featuring super radical matchups and prime time action, and those would be big time tickets to get to go see those football games.
Oh man, even a couple Monday nighters in Los Angeles at the new SoFi Stadium, that could be pretty sweet.
I mean, we could have like the Packers versus the Patriots or something in Los Angeles, you know.
Oh, that would be sweet. Dave, but I think the sweetest thing about this is the expansion of the playoffs from 12 teams to 14, dude.
Yeah, dude, that wild card weekend is going to have six games in it, and that is going to be absolutely mind-blowing. And then also it really puts – when you think of the concept of watering down the regular season versus enhancing it, well, the teams towards the top that are vying for that number one seed, that is going to be such a valuable prize. One team in each conference is going to get that bye, and that second team, that second-seeded team is going to have to play – that weekend, and that is a longer journey to the Super Bowl. And man, that gauntlet, that's just what we'd love to see. That puts that makes that last game for those teams less likely that there'll be great teams sitting players in the final weekend of football, and that's something that we definitely appreciate.
And you've been talking about this for a while. We get that 17th game, that means we should get two bye weeks, and if they add an extra bye for all these teams, that means you have a Thursday night game off of a bye, not from a short week. And I think that would help a lot of players say, oh, that 17th game is not so bad. It's one more check.
Yeah, because then you have basically a week and a half leading into your Thursday game and a week and a half to get recovered from it. And it's instead of being a burden on players, it's actually a nice a gift, you know?
Yeah, totally. A few other things in here, Dave. The NFL is getting off of the get out of my yard, old man stuff. They're easing up on the reefers. No suspensions, Dave, only fines. I think that's going to get high marks from the players.
I see what you did there, Casey. Yeah, this is definitely a sweet deal. No question about it. No suspensions for the herb, and that's just the way it needs to be. It's as simple as that. And they also made the threshold for testing positive more substantially higher. They also made the window that they test in a smaller window, so they're not looking to catch anybody either. So that's good news.
Yeah, talk about some of the money situations there, though.
Well, this is some of the awesome stuff. It's going to increase salaries. And in particular, a big increase in salaries for the lower paid players. I think approximately 1,100 players will get an immediate bump in pay, and sometimes it's going to be a pretty substantial bump. If you're a player that's just sort of clinging to the back end of that roster and making league minimum, you're now in your career maybe almost going to make twice as much money, from maybe like $1 million to $2 million. And that's a huge, huge, huge life-changing difference for a lot of these players. And you don't play football without all 53 dudes. We see in a given season how many guys have to be called on to play. It's not just the 10 or 12 guys that are the big money dudes. They need the rest of the roster filled out for us to play football games. So this is a huge, huge deal for the majority of players in the NFL.
Yeah, dude, they're going to adjust the active roster. They're going to increase that by two and increase the practice squad by four players as well.
Yep.
Which gives you a little more room to have guys that are special teamers that you can keep just for that. You don't have to have your stars doing that as much. Mm-hmm. They're also going to give us three players back from the IR. This is sleeping brilliant, bro.
Yeah, because it's just such a shame when you have a handful of guys that are hurt, but you know you're going to get them back, and then there's just a numbers game. So it goes back. I mean, this could go up for me up to four or something like that. But as we're sitting here going up from two players back from IR to three, I think it's a really smart thing. Those guys still have to miss half the season, basically, to go on to IR for that spell of time. So it's not something that teams are going to use, I don't think, to stash dudes or anything and try and work the system. This is honestly for guys that need 2 months off, but then they can be back and contribute. That's what we want to see, the best players that we can see as the season goes on. So I think that's a smart move, dude. And overall, the players get a bigger chunk of the revenue as they increase it to that 17th game, which I don't think is going to happen next year. They're going to add the playoff game next year, but then maybe the next year after that, the 17th game. But the players' revenue share goes up closer and closer to 50-50, which the deal is, case that, you know, they're going to be a bigger pie to split up to, you know?
Yeah, so, dude, this is setting the table for the new TV deal, which is going to have mind-blowing numbers to which we've never seen before. But, Dave, also better payouts for injuries, a better pension, especially for the retired players. Some retired players are going to see an increase of up to 60% for their pensions, which is good. Take care of some of those older guys. And then back to the active rosters, padded practices down to 16. Guys are going to be extremely happy about that. Maybe not the coaches, but the players.
Yeah, the coaches are not going to be as happy. But only 16 practices during the season instead of 28. So that means basically, you know, roughly a practice a week that you're allowed to actually fully suit up and have contact in. And then, you know, that's the kind, you know, half the injuries happen during practice, you know. I mean, there's tons of non-contact injuries too. But, you know, this is just a way of looking at it and saying, and we're going to take some of the wear and tear off of these dudes on a weekly basis. We're going to have to find smarter ways to get you ready to play football, you know?
Yeah, dude. And by the time this show gets out, there might be even crazier stuff that has transpired in the free agent frenzy that's upon us. But draft's still just a little over a month away. There won't be people at the physical thing, but it's still going to happen. It's going to be in Vegas. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a ton of coverage on the NFL draft coming up. You do not want to miss it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Casey, that's going to do it for this free agency frenzy here, Trend Zone episode. So many ways to check out Football Dudes, though, Casey. Available on Spotify, iTunes, or Stitcher. Don't forget, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Of course, go to footballdudes.com and check it all out right there. That's going to do it, Casey, for this episode of the Trend Zone. He's Case, I'm Dave, and we are out of here.